In any case, we have been talking, and in the actual bulletin, it had this line, as I said before, by what authority are you doing these things? And this text in Scripture, it's a very different culture of the time. Very different culture of the time. It's a time in the world where there are the leaders. In fact, the people that came to Jesus in our text today are the high priests, not just a priest, a high priest, the most important, the biggest of them all, in Jerusalem, the biggest city, right? Not Batavia, right? This is downtown Chicago, right? Not in some small city. This is the most important people that Jesus is facing. The highest of the priests. In fact, they're also called elders, which we use that word elder very differently in the culture today. Elders of that time were very the best of the best. These are the pure, perfect people. These are the people that told other stuff, and there weren't tons of articles that gave different opinions, and people were allowed to say whatever they wanted to say. If you disagreed with those of that level, you sometimes were arrested. It was not okay to think what you want and say what you want. These high priests, they're the best of the best. They're the ones that are at such a high level that hold everyone to that same level, and everyone trusts what they say because they're in the Bible more. They know their stuff. And the high priests in our gospel reading today, they come to Jesus and they say a legitimate question. By what authority are you saying these things? You're not a priest. You're not part of the system. You've never been elected to put in this role. You haven't been chosen, and yet you are speaking like you know everything. And you're doing things very different than what we are saying. And this is quite a moment in Jesus' ministry. And Jesus, he again, is just the brilliant man. I mean, just give me an inch of the wisdom of our God. They're saying this. You never read that text. Oh, why are you doing this? They say, by what authority? How dare you do this? By what authority are you speaking in the name of God? Our culture, everybody gives their opinions. It's all accepted. There it wasn't. And the hilarious moment, Jesus says, I'll answer your question if you answer mine. You know John the Baptist. Was he of heaven, or was he just an earthly man doing his stuff? And the text is great because, you know, the high priests get together and they say, well, if we say he is from heaven, we didn't follow him. We didn't acknowledge him. Why wouldn't we if we believe he's from heaven? And if we say, oh, no, he's just a lowly one, everyone believed him, they'll turn against us. And here's where it's exactly the same. These are the high priests. These are the top of the top, the most important, the most wise of the Jewish people turn to Jesus and say, I don't know. And Jesus knew. He knew they weren't even looking for truth. They were just looking to get what they wanted. It's a good thing our government's not that way. We know we only have truth followers, people that are just following truth. Oh, it's a good thing all our businesses are that way, right? This is challenging. And their question is very big. By what authorities does Jesus speak with such power and such might? And I think all of us know the answer to that here now. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord over all. He is the one who's smarter, wiser, more powerful than anything in this universe, in the entire. And as we kind of go through this, Jesus says some interesting things. he doesn't answer their question. But then just a couple chapters later, you know what he says? Matthew chapter 23. He says, obey the governing authorities, but don't follow them. Oh, is that applicable to us today? Obey the governing authorities, but don't follow them. In fact, Paul, writing the book of Romans, chapter 13, obey the rules and commands given to us. And he goes into more explanation. He says, look, you should obey what your leaders say, not because they're always saying the right things. You are to obey them because they have been placed there by God. They're under God's hand. And we are under theirs. Now, it's easy for us to get all negative and, oh, gosh, it's hard to be nice and pray for people that are so off. And we go, oh, it's way harder than that. Kids, any of you still living at home? Kids, quite a few. Obey your mother and your father. Now, I know none of you ever disobey them. I know you guys are so great and your parents just absolutely just love their perfect kids who are always obedient. Oh, and you people in jobs, obey your boss. Oh, not easy. This concept is big in our culture. And yet this is what God says to us. This is what Jesus says, and it's all through the scriptures. Probably one of the greatest examples and one of the greatest men in the scriptures, all right? Daniel, who is ordained, all right, to be king. And yet the king, King Saul, is trying to kill him. And Daniel's running for his life. And the king's trying to kill him. And twice in the scriptures, the king goes out to pee or something, and Daniel could kill him right here. And he's anointed by God to be king. He could take control right now. And Daniel, he can't do it. And he says, look, he's anointed by God to be king. I'm not going to go against that. Oh, that's a challenge. That's a challenge with us in government. They are anointed to be rulers in this country. And we pray for them. We don't just bicker about them. We can talk about them and things they do, but we honor them because they are placed there by God. Whew. Romans chapter 13 goes on. It says, those of you who disobey these authorities are sinning, are disobeying God. Now, people are always like, oh, yeah, that's back when the Christian world. Paul was not writing to the Christian world. Paul was going to Rome and writing the Roman people, Christians in Rome, to obey the Roman people who in less than another 15 years will begin killing everyone who claims to be a Christian. Those are the ones we're supposed to obey. This is powerful. That this is strong in our life. And I will say for us, I had a sermon given to me. I was a pastor for only 2 years. I was doing youth work, and I always went to these huge youth sessions with lots of different churches. And this guy, have you ever heard of his name? All right. Louis Giglio. Anyone ever heard of Louis Giglio? I got like a few hands. More at this service than any other. All right, I got like five people here. I had one person at the first three services I did. Louis Giglio became very famous with this. And he did a sermon about this, and I heard it, and it was huge. I mean, he ended up writing books about it. It was just very popular. This made him more popular, this message. And so I thought, hey, I should share it. And so I shared it at the last church I was at, and I'll share it with you. So he did it in 75 minutes. So I'm going to do it shorter. And he started his sermon kind of strange. He's talking about the world in which we live, this incredible world, this earth that is filled with so many crazy things. Like if the earth stopped spinning a little bit, we'd all die. If the earth was shifted just a tiny bit, we would all die. And the amazingness about this earth, and then he starts talking about planets and the craziness of the world, and he's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's just large things, history, facts, things we don't know about these things, which are so large and so huge, so beyond us. For me, in my experience, it's when I go to the airport. I go to the airport and I'm maybe on, you know, waiting for my flight and things, and I'm sitting down and there's just so many people speaking different languages and people acting different ways. And it's just like, it's a world that's so much larger than how could I ever handle? How could I ever manage? How could I ever do anything in this world? And his main pushy point on this, as he's going through, is, you know, I am not the answer to the world's questions. I mean, really? Who can run the world? Oh, let's shrink it down. Who could run America? Oh, let's shrink it down. Who could run Batavia? I mean, Batavia is still so big. I don't know most people in Batavia. Who is the one to run the show? And he says this again and again. He says, I am not the smartest person who knows everything. In fact, I am not even kind enough to other people that I'm not selfish about myself. And he says, hey, I am not even knowledgeable about everything to do everything, parents. Just toss to you. I am not. And then he does the amazing thing. He says, I am not, but I know I am. When you go into the book of Exodus, chapter 3, God's people are all slaves in Egypt. And Moses is called to go out and proclaim their freedom and set them free. And Moses goes out as he's talking with God and he says, well, what name am I supposed to say is saying all this? God, what's your name? You know what he says? I am what I am. All right, that's kind of, but that's what he says. It's the Hebrew word Yahweh. It's my name. I am. That's what the word means. Some people say it Jehovah. It's the same word. I am. And his message was so great. He says, yeah, we are limited. Yes, we can only do so much. But I'll tell you what, I am the ruler of your life. I am the one who will give you the strength and ability to do things you cannot even imagine doing. I am the one who forgives you things that you don't deserve to be forgiven for. I am. And I'll say this was a sermon that touched me so much. I started, you know, I preached it where I was at, and then people went crazy, started to get shirts. I am. And it's funny, I go on walks with these shirts, and you know what's hilarious? People, I wear Steeler shirts most of the time, and I go, way, Steelers, and people say, yeah, go Steelers, and some people boo me and things like that. But when I wear this shirt, you know what happens? What the heck does that mean? And when they say that, I can't wait. I tell you, we live in a world where everyone claims to be the answer. But you're a fool to claim to be wise enough to be the answer in this world. If you ever get a pastor that says, hey, I'm the guy, whatever I say is what you should do, don't listen to him. I'm a pastor who preaches a sermon and says, if you ever have questions, tell me, ask me where it says in the Word of God, because I am not the answer. God's the answer. And when you deal with people who say, oh, if we could get our government to do this, then everything would be great. How can the government get everyone to follow them? Have you ever seen a government get everyone to follow them? Has that ever worked? Is it possible? You know what makes things possible? When we recognize that our kids are under our parents. And you ever have kids ask that question? Oh, we're under you? Well, who are you under? Grandparents? Well, who are the grandparents under? I don't know. We have followed the law. And who is over the law? Well, these people are judges and things like that. Well, who are they under? Kids keep asking that question. And what happens as parents? We eventually go, shut up. It doesn't matter. We don't. There is a final answer. Are you ready? If you're my boss, who's your boss? You can go up, 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 and eventually, Jesus. You can talk about your life, the gifts that you have. Who this? The answer is Jesus. And those who dare to step into government and say, I'm going to fix this world. Are you going to believe that? And you're a fool. If you're in a job that says, do things my way and everything's going to go perfect, I will do things as you ask me to, but I'm not trusting in you. It doesn't matter the decisions that are made, the leaders that exist in this world. This world is in the hands of the Almighty God, the one who created it, the one who's experienced it, the one who came down and lived life in this world just as we do, who understands exactly how people function, and the one who has an incredible mind beyond our own, the one who has the strength and ability to do beyond what we could ever imagine. I am. In fact, I love this sermon and this thing so much that for Halloween, we always did a Halloween thing at church. I simply covered this, covered that up. And they said, what are you doing? This is Halloween. I said, I know. I am. It's my Jesus. I am. Without question, there are challenges in life. Without question, we have our fears. There are challenges that come. There are answers we don't have. But I'll tell you what, the God who made us, the God who loves us, has all things in his hands. How do we get through the hard things? We say, Lord, I don't know how to deal with it. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. Answer me. No answer. Doesn't matter, Lord. I'm going to trust in you. How do you live a life with the brokenness that you face and have peace? Because we worship I am. How do we go through our anger and our frustrations? We hold on to I am. How do we have confidence with all our limitations? God doesn't tell us to go accomplish things. He says, follow me, for I am. I'm the one that will lead you. I'm the one that will strengthen you. I'm the one that will do things. This text we read, who do you say that I am? Right? By what authority do you say these things? And Jesus knew these were people that were not even open to have authority. They wanted to be number one in their life. They wanted to be the boss. At the very end of Matthew, chapter 28, we read it all the time, but you sometimes forget the first few words. Jesus says to his disciples, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, go. make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always. Are we blessed to have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, over all things on our side? May we trust in him. May we follow him. May we respect our bosses, our authorities. But may he always be first in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.